for this day, for this chance, for this opportunity to sit in your presence. We are so thankful that we could come out, Master, and give unto you what you've asked of us, which is our praise and our worship. And we pray, Master, that we do it in spirit and in truth, so that you'll be pleased with us while we are here. For we know that surely if you'll please, then you'll cover us, keep us, bless us, and protect us. We ask now these things in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let all hearts say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 217.
Today, we will continue our Advent worship piece of it. On last Sunday, we talked about hope. On the second Sunday in Advent, it's all about peace. We know that God, justice and compassion. We know God listened to the cries of the vulnerable and longed for wars to cease. As we come together, we pray, God, peace is at work in our hearts, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and in the world. So today on this, that we light this second candle, we will ask Daryl Bradford, if he would come up and assist. Today as we light the second candle, which is the candle of peace, we light this candle as an invitation to work for justice and peace throughout our journey that we walk. We foundation this scripture on Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. And I will highlight just verses 2 through 3 for our reading today. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and mighty, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in fear of the Lord. And verses of chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Prince of Peace. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy One, help us to fan the flame of peace. May our lives reflect the warmth and wonder of this candle. Make your church, our church, a place of peace, a sanctuary in our community. May God of hope fill all of us with the peace as we fully trust in him and move through this spiritual journey. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Our responsive reading is the statement of faith found in the back of the hymnals. Let us read in unison. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father. And to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimless and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the church of Jesus Christ, binding and covering faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost of joy and discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the paths of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen.
Thank you.
now to a portion where we have the pastoral prayer. And we have received a request for prayer today from Mother Harris. Mother, would you like to come to the altar as we pray, or would you like to stay in your seat? You stay in your seat. Now, the altar is open to anyone who would like to come to the altar today. If you want to come to the altar for prayer, it is open. The Bible says that man should always pray and never cease from praying. And we live now in a time where prayer is much needed. For the world is corrupt. The world is evil. The world is harsh. But for us who are called the children of God, the beautiful thing for us is that we have a covering. That covering protects us. That covering provides for us. That covering shields us. That covering keeps us. And all that covering asks for us to do is to call on his name. So as I pray aloud, you pray silently, because I don't know every individual's issue, but you do. The great thing is, so does he. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, the lover of all of us, the one who looked past our every fault and meet our every need, we come to you this morning at your altar with our heads bowed, our hearts humbled, our spirits submissive. And Master, we may even want to bend our knees and get on our knees or lay prostrate before you, because some issues are heavier than others. Some burdens are heavier than others. Some of us have been cut deep and we have experienced much pain. But Master, we know you as a doctor who can heal every wound, who can close every situation. So we come to you this morning to say thank you for being our doctor. And Master, not only are you a doctor, but you can regulate our minds. And Master, you can help us through all situations. Because if we can just keep our eyes focused on you, our minds will be regulated, because we can find in you comfort. We can find in you assurance. We can find in you what we need. So we come this morning to say thank you for being a mind regulator. And then, Master, for those of us who are lacking, may it be spiritual, may it be financial, may it be physical, may it be social, whatever it is, we know that you can give it. So we come this morning and say thank you for being our provider. And not only our provider, Master, we thank you for professing that you love us. And because you love us, we know that everything that we have need of, you shall meet it. You said in your word that if we just ask, and if we just ask and don't doubt, the Bible said it shall be given. So today we come to say thank you, Master, for meeting the needs of all these who are standing at the altar today. And not those who are just standing at the altar, but those who are even in the sanctuary. Because all of us have come today for something, Master. We all have a need, and we know that if we can just get to you, we can find what we need. Some of us, Master, are like the woman with the issue of blood. Master, we came today to say if we can just touch your hem. We know that in your hem lies the power. In your hem lies the anointing. In your hem lies the fix for our situation. So, Master, we come today to hit your hem as you pass by. Let your glory fall on us. Let your anointing run down like it ran down on Aaron's beard and onto his robe. Let it fall fresh on us today. So when we leave here, we'll get what we need. Thank you, Master. Thank you. We pray that this prayer is a fervent prayer, for you said that a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Master, we have much to pray for today. So help us with whatever it is that we're dealing with. Some of us have things that we're not willing to share with others, but we share them with you. Help us through it. Some of us have shared things with others. We pray, Master, that what we share stay with those who we shared it with, and help us through it. Some of us, Master, have requested prayer. For all of us who have requested prayer, Master, help us through our situation. Because one thing we have found out in life, that if there's one thing that we can count on you. Be our God today and help us with your power. Because our power is not strong enough to pull us through, but your power can see us through every situation. Thank you for being a God who's willing to share your love, your grace, your mercy, and your power with your people. Master, give us what we need today so that we can make it through not only the rest of this year, but all of next year and the years to come. For you said that you made us for this time. Give us what we need to be strong in this time. In this hour, whatever it is that we're facing, we can face it with you. We ask now for these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let all hearts say amen. Amen. Glory be to God. As they take their seats, we ask that the officers would come now for the purpose of tithing and offering. us bow. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And Master, in this time of giving, we pray that this gift gives someone life so that they can make it through their storms. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray that all God's children sing.
Praise, I lift you high. I will sing Hallelujah, oh Lord.
Amen. Anybody here got anything to be thankful for? Oh, come on, don't play with me. Don't play with me. The song said, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Anybody in here got anything to be thankful for? Let me ask that question one more time. Maybe the third time would be the charm. Does anybody in here have anything to be thankful for? Has not he been good to you? Come on, give God some praise in here. Come on, give God some praise in here. He's your source. He's your supply. He's your everything. Anybody here know that he's your everything? When I think about the goodness of God and all that he's done for me, when I think about where he brought me from, that little nappy-haired boy that didn't have anything, to where I am right now, I can't help but say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So that was a time I didn't think I was going to make it. They counted me out. They counted my whole family out. They said they ain't going to make it. But my mama knew somebody. His name was Jesus. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. He fed us when we were hungry. He clothed us when we didn't have any money. And he paid some bills we didn't have. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm so thankful. Anybody here thankful? Amen. Grateful for who he is. Amen. Hi. I'm going to try to make it through this scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalms 27. Somebody know. Verse 13 and 14. And I'll be reading from the Amplified Version because I like the way it sounds better. Psalms 27, 13 and 14. And it reads, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Then David said, yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Amen.
Just for a few moments, I would like to take the subject, hold on to your hope. Hold on to your hope. And my proposition to you is this: hope gives you access to the goodness of God. Amen. Let me say that one more time. Hope gives you access to the goodness of God. My brothers and my sisters, there are a few theories as to when David penned this psalm. One is that he penned it before he became king of Israel, when he was in the midst of some life's issues, specifically the death of his parents. The second theory is that he penned it when he was almost killed by the giant Abishai, who was so large and powerful that his sword weighed 300 shekels. And then the final theory is that this is not a psalm that's about a particular traumatic issue of David. It is a summation of all the issues that David faced in life. And then it is the expression of David's joy because he found hope in all of his situations. Somebody better give God some praise. I come to tell you today that no matter how your situation look, hold on to your hope. No matter how dark it looks, hold on to your hope. No matter how despair it looks, hold on to your hope. You may be feeling overwhelmed, but yet and still, hold on to your hope. Amen. Because if you are a child of God, God has promised you he will never leave you. Yeah. Somebody better get with me today. Nor forsake you. We got to understand, as Christians, God didn't say that we wouldn't have problems. He just promised us when we have problems, right, he'll get in our problems with us. Somebody better give God some praise. He didn't promise you that everything was going to be easy. He didn't promise you that every situation was going to be good. But what he did promise you is he'll keep you and he'll cover you. Somebody better know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about our Lord and Savior. I'm talking about the one who we should always have hope in. Always believe that he can. Always believe that he's there. Always believe that he is. Because you know what? He's all those things. If you like me, I've gone through some things in my life, and every time I needed them. Let me say that one more time. I don't know about you, but I've been through some things in my life. And every time I needed him. I didn't say sometimes. I said every time I need him, he showed up. Yeah. He promised me, he promised us that he would never leave us or forsake us. So I come today to tell somebody who's feeling like you can't go any further, hold on to your hope. Don't give up, because quitting is not an option. Stopping is not an option. Backing up is not an option. Sitting down is not an option. When you're a child of God, you ought to press forward and keep moving. Press forward and keep going. Move forward in knowing that if you do this, you won't do it in your own power. He'll give you strength. Somebody better hear me today. Hold on to your hope. See, hope is the central and foundational theme of the Bible. When you look at the book is about hope. Huh? If you want to make it simple where everybody can understand, the Bible is a book of hope. Which means if the Bible is a book of hope, then hope is the central and foundational theme for Christianity. So if you are a Christian, the one thing that you can't lose is hope. Let me say that one more time. Because I think some of us, we don't grasp that understanding. That if you are a child of God, no matter how dire it looks, no matter what nobody else says to you, you should never lose your hope that God won't do something. Oh. Because if you hold on to your hope, that means you hold God into that situation. When you hold God into something, him being who he is, he takes over that something and he tells you, you don't have to fight. He tells you, sit back and watch him work. Yes. Reverend, how you know that? The Bible says watch as well as pray. Amen. When you're watching, you're not doing anything. So what are you watching? What you're doing, you're looking for the movement of God in your situation. So if you have hope, God will move if you let him. How do I let him, Reverend? You got to still expect him to do something. See, let me tell you something. Hope also gives us an understanding of where our faith is. It is an indicator for the trust that you have in God. Because if you have hope, you're able to wait. That's why David says, wait. But he said, wait with courage. Now, this waiting isn't a passive wait where you sit down and pout and do nothing. Where you sit down and have a pity party. Where you sit down and you moan and you cry and you weep and you... Every time somebody call you, you ain't got nothing good to say. Only thing you got coming out your mouth is negative stuff. When you are waiting on God, you are still encouraged. You're still speaking positive things. You're still doing positive things. You're still working positively. When you are waiting on God, that means I'm going to still work, believing that you will work. I mean, I'm still going. It ain't going to stop me from doing what you called me to do. Huh? The way I wait is I still get to the choir. Although I can barely walk. I make it to rehearsals. Although I may not have enough money for gas. Y'all don't hear me? Huh? I keep speaking positive things, although there's nothing but storms in my life. I'm waiting. But I'm waiting with hope. Somebody don't hear me. When you got hope, your wait is a quality wait. Your wait will show that you have strength. Your ability to wait will show that you trust God. Now see, that's different from believing in God and trusting. A lot of us believe in him. Huh? But we don't trust him with our lives. I'm going to say that one more time. A lot of us believe in him, but we don't trust him with our lives. How you know that, Reverend? Because you try to help him. Y'all know how we do. God ain't moving fast enough, so let me do this. That's not waiting on God. Huh? Now, I don't want to confuse you because I do want you to understand that when God calls you to do something, he asks you to wait. Wait is an action thing and you are doing something. But yet and still, you are doing the stuff that God tells you to do. That's right. Versus the stuff that you want to do. I know a whole lot of us can say ouch behind that one. Because when God is not moving like we want him to, we'll jump out in front of him. And all we do is end up making that mess more of a mess than it was before he got involved. But when you wait on God and you have hope, there's a quality wait. It shows that you have strength. It shows that you have conviction. It shows that you have trust, because you understand that faith deals with what is unseen now, but hope deals with the purpose of what's coming in the future by way of the promises of God. So because you can see into the future, you're willing to wait through the storms you're going through right now. Somebody didn't hear me. Somebody didn't understand what I just said. So let me say it like this. Isaiah says it's like this. In 40 and 31, he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew," somebody hear me, "their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Let me help you understand something. When eagles are going through their storms, they don't sit in the nest. I was told that what they do is they take flight. And they don't fly in the storm. They fly above. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. What I'm trying to tell you, that if you can hold on to your hope by looking into the future, not concerned about what's going on right now, you can rise above your storms. And not only will God allow you to rise above your storms, you can look down in them. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See what's going on and not allow it to affect you, because you are higher than your situation. You're stronger than your situation. You're better. Hold on to your hope. But then he didn't just say that you'll mount up as wings as an eagle. He said you'll run. Oh my God. Listen, when you have hope, and your hope is a quality hope, it'll transform you. Do you hear me? It'll transform you into what God is trying to make you into. So when you are going through, you can still do the stuff that you were doing before you start going through. And then, as a matter of fact, God will give you more power to do even more. And then folks will be standing watching you going, "Now how can they do that? I know they're going through. I know they're hurting. I know they got pain in their life. I know they didn't stumble. I know they didn't fail. But yet and still, they're still pushing forward. They're still on the run. They're still doing what God has called them to do." When you have hope, it'll transform you into something better. You want to get better? Allow it to transform you. Stop running from it. Run to it. Embrace what God is trying to do. Take a hold of what God is trying to do in your life, because when you're doing that, you're holding on to your hope. Your hope still is in Him, not in yourself, not in anyone else. Your hope brings you to a place where God can transform you into something big and something beautiful. He will make you mighty beyond your own belief. You can see yourself start doing things that you didn't know that you can do. Because it's not you, it's God working through you. Somebody better give God some praise. When you have hope, it gives you access to God's goodness. See, because hope doesn't come by itself. Hope is one of those things that bring other folks with it. See, when you're a child of God, when you go, you realize you don't go by yourself. Because if you are a child of God, you go with three other people with you. So you don't realize you got an entourage. You don't realize you're a superstar. Because when you go, God goes with you. When you go, Jesus goes with you. When you go, the Holy Ghost goes with you. So when hope goes, hope takes some people with him. He takes with him what God loves. He takes faith with him. He takes trust with him. He takes patience with him. He takes conviction with him. He takes expectations with him. And the Bible said that when you expect something from God, you are showing God that you have faith. And when you show God that you have faith, then you please God. And when you please God, the Bible says God opens up doors. Oh, y'all. God opened up doors that no man can close, and closed doors that no man can open. When hope comes, he brings with him all of those who can turn that key that give you access to God's goodness. James 1 and 17 says it like this. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. Somebody better give God some praise. Because when you have hope, God shows you his goodness. When you have those mountains that you can't climb, he'll give you strength. When you have those rivers that you can't cross, he'll build a bridge for you. When you have valleys that you can't crawl out of, the Bible's telling me he'll reach down. Y'all don't hear me. When I'm reaching with the wrong hand, somebody need to correct me. He'll reach down. But the Bible says he always give you his right hand, because his right hand is his righteous hand. And his right hand that's righteous is power. When he reached out and grabbed you in your valleys, because it's his powerful hand, he pulls you out of the valley. Somebody better give God some praise in here. He declares that you've been set free. He declares that you've been healed. He declares that you've been delivered. Somebody need to give God some praise in here for the goodness that he gave you access to. All he asks is that you don't lose your hope. Don't let the world beat you to where you no longer have hope in God. Don't let the world turn you from God, because that is the trick of the enemy. He wants you to turn away from your gift. Your gift is in his goodness. If you just can keep pressing forward. I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up. Some of us give up at the last moment. Right before we're about to receive the blessing, we give up. But God said, if you just press just a little bit longer, push just a little bit harder, wait just a little bit longer, look for me just a little bit longer, have a little bit longer expectation, he said, I will drop the reward in your lap. And you'll be blessed beyond measure. Glory be to God. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there will be one to receive him as your Lord and Savior, the time is now. Make your way to the altar.
God keep blessing us. Amen. Amen. We keep growing. God keep moving. Amen. Amen. He is such an awesome God. Amen. We're going to ask now that the officers will come now for the purpose of the serving of communion. And as they come, I'm going to go ahead and start praying. I'm going to pray out loud, of course, and ask that you pray silently, because we do not want to eat from this table if we have not gotten ourselves in a position where God is pleased with us. We don't take this lightly. And I know some people say, well, that's just juice and that's just crackers, Reverend. Well, God has ordained it to be the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. So it is sanctified. And you can't take something sanctified into your body if your body has not been cleansed. And what I mean by that, if you have aught with your brothers or your sisters, I mean anyone, and you can't forgive them of that thing, you're still holding on to that thing, do not drink nor eat from this table today. Because the Bible says if you do so, listen to me now, if you do so, the Bible says some of us are sick because of it, and some of us have even died. So as I pray aloud, you pray silently to make sure that there's nothing in you that God is not happy with when it comes to your brothers and your sisters. Amen? Amen. Let us bow. Father God, we come now asking that you allow us to be able to eat from this table, to be able to drink from this table. And when I say allow us, we are coming to you in a state of submission, asking that if there's something is in us, because sometimes we may bury things in our consciousness that we are not aware of, we ask, Master, that you remove it from us so that when we put our hands to this table, we do it worthily. And when we take from it, we take from it worthily. And when we eat from it, we eat from it worthily, that we don't bring damnation unto our souls. Cleanse us up. And Master, we know that you can do it right now because you are an immediate God. You don't have to wait on anything. You can do things right now. So we ask that if that is something, make us whole right now, so that we can drink from this holy table and eat from this holy table. In your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. All God's children say amen. Amen.
it a marveling word for me.
Our Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for all that we have experienced here today. And we pray, Master, we take the power that we felt in here today with us out into this world that's in need of you, more of you. Allow us to be that beacon of light as we walk. Allow us to go with your power so that as we travel, lives will change. Cover us and keep us while we do this work. Keep us until we can turn back to this church where you have chosen to place your name. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we do now pray. Now let all God's children sing.